President Bush has just about finished reshaping the cabinet for his second term. Most of the 9 cabinet members who left over the course of 2 months have been replaced, though the president has not yet named a new EPA administrator or a new national intelligence czar. And there are plenty of secondary vacancies at federal agencies. Few people follow the comings and goings there as closely as Paul Light. He's a professor at the Wagner School of Public Service at New York University. And good morning.
Good morning.
Why are there vacancies at the sub-cabinet level when most of the cabinet positions have already been filled?
Well, people just start moving as soon as they hear the boss is leaving. And the fifth year of an administration is a perfect time to exit and cash in. That's not to say all of the sub-cabinet are going to take jobs on the K Street corridor where all the lobbyists work, but a great many of them will see their opportunity to influence the administration from outside, and they'll be leaving in drips and drabs over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
And what is the White House doing about these vacancies as they start opening up?
Well, the first thing they're trying to do is figure out where they are. This is not like a first term where everybody quits en masse and the new president knows exactly what jobs have to be filled. There's a lot of thinking among sub-cabinet members about whether they want to stay and when they want to leave. They may be waiting for openings in the trade associations or at think tanks, universities, and so forth. And over at the White House Office of Presidential Personnel, it's really just waiting for the turnover to accelerate.
You know, I'm wondering if enough of the decision-making, or at least enough of the power to get things done, is at this level. And if that's the case, how difficult is it that there are vacancies?
The problem is that you have all sorts of issues pushing guidance down into the agencies, providing leadership. Information gets stuck in the pipeline as people pass it upwards in kind of a game of telephone where the messages get distorted and regulations sit on desks waiting for signatures. It is a form of paralysis because you have the top of the government, the head of government in place in your cabinet secretaries, but you don't have the neck of government in place.
You know, I'm just curious, do you have an example of that?
Well, the Treasury Department's a mess. There are more acting and designated and vacant jobs there than in Hollywood. You have a deputy secretary, assistant secretary for tax. You've got all sorts of problems there, and you actually had the secretary stay. Now, we don't know what's going to happen at state. We've got some key vacancies at defense. Homeland Security could involve a major reshuffling.
Well, let's talk about Homeland Security, very high-profile area. The newest cabinet-level agency, arguably one of the most important.
Right, absolutely. New Secretary Michael Chertoff and Deputy Secretary-designate Michael Jackson would be wise to think carefully about just leaving people in place. But I expect that there's going to be a lot of motion out of the department as people say, look, it's time for me to go. And, you know, I've been doing this job for 2, 3 years. It's a very stressful place to have been. I'd argue for continuity, but I don't expect it.
Did the Clinton administration have the same problem?
Every administration in the last 20 years has had problems with second-term vacancies. The issue is that we've done nothing about it. So we see it every second term. We see the problems all over the federal government, but we've been unable to come up with durable changes that might actually improve the continuity of government.
Right, because presidents feel like they're not going to cut a single appointment.
Every president says that they desperately need every last appointee on the payroll. They have to have their deputy assistant, undersecretary for X or Y. But then they're willing to go to Capitol Hill and say, but a 30% vacancy is no problem. So they defend their right to appoint all these jobs, but then they argue that the vacancies don't undermine their governance. It's just an impossible position to take, but presidents do it all the time.
Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Paul Light is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and the author of The Four Pillars of High Performance.